For thousands of years, people have tried to communicate with God in all sorts of ways, whether it be rituals or practices or even sacrifices. It's possible that over the years, it could lead to you and me or others sitting in a room like this and having a misguided view of prayer. Prayer for many can feel very distant. It can feel cold. For some, it's even scary. And honestly, for many, prayer is simply disappointing. The truth is that you were designed to pray. You were created to communicate with a loving Father who hears you, not only hears you, the Bible says is fond of hearing from you, delights in hearing from you. He loves to spend time with you in which you share and He speaks to you through different ways. You see, prayer is a weapon. Prayer is a comfort. Prayer is healing ointment. As we look to change the spiritual landscape in Chicagoland, in our relationships, in our families, in our schools, prayer as a foundation is a key battle strategy. Prayer as a foundation is a key weapon, is a key loving act. May we become a people of prayer to the glory of God and the well-being of people.
Good morning, you guys. Thank you. Good morning. Merry Christmas. Why don't at all the campuses, good morning at all the campuses, why don't you turn to someone if you haven't? It's like the 1st or 2nd of December, right? Is November over? I did No Shave November, but I haven't shaved yet, so I think it's December still. Would you wish three people Merry Christmas? And by saying Merry Christmas, what we're saying is, oh, you're already doing it. just do it. That's awesome. We're right in the middle of a series in which we're talking about prayer. And you can think of it as you're watching Netflix and there are different episodes and we're walking through it. And when it's all done, you can go back and binge watch like I like to do. The first episode was a couple weeks ago with Scott and Why Pray. Last episode was Freddie. Who loves Freddie? I love Freddie when he teaches. I tell you what, though, Freddie's beard is getting ridiculous. And then, and I mean that in love. And then this week, we're talking about prayer and how do you pray for others when you're with them out loud? How's that for a title, right? Now, the title might be that, but there's an AKA title I want to show you as well. It's also called today, Orchestra in a Sports Bar. And that, I'll explain that to you later. Next week, we have Miriam Swaffield coming from the UK, who's one of our friends, and she'll be sharing on prayer in the act of worship. If you haven't heard or been around Miriam yet here, she is amazing. You are going to want to wake the neighbors, grab the kids, put the dog, give the dog a bone, kick the cat, and you're going to want to get here. I'm just kidding. I love cats, kind of. But next week is really important. As well. And then the following week, Scott will be talking about prayer and interceding for others when you're not with them. Okay? So that's the journey we're on. And so today is very, very important. There's a switch that went off in my faith journey personally. There's a trajectory change that for me personally happened. When I first started to pray out loud for people when I wasn't a church. It's weird. As I look back and what God has done and He's blessed me so much, this one little topic of praying for other people has been a significant thing that's actually changed my life. And I believe we all can grow in this area. Do you know that there was a study done, Barna and Pew Research did a study of how many people pray, how many people that call themselves Christians pray for other people out loud when they're not at church. Guess what the percentage was? Some 50, 40? Less than 10% in two independent studies found that people who call themselves Christians don't pray for people out loud when they're not in church. That's fascinating because the Bible is full of stories and beauty and invitation to do this to change other people's life, and we're called to do it, yet we don't do it. I didn't. And so that's what we're gonna talk about. Okie dokie. So I'm gonna go ahead and pray out loud for us in this talk and for your heart and my heart. Lord, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you help? And would you do your thing? I pray, Lord, for salvations and for miracles and signs and wonders and breakthroughs. And I pray, Lord, that we would just be ready for this upcoming week and this upcoming month. Come on, Lord. In Jesus' name, all God's people said. Now, before we get too far, I want to do a little thing. Like, if this sermon was the electric slide, there's a little moment here where I want to stop and bring it back. Is that move where you go back a little bit? I want to take a pause for a little bit and say, why do we even do sermons? Why do we even do talks? To get a little check mark from God that says, well done, good job. That makes up for all the stupid things you did today. No. The Bible tells us why we do this. There's this guy named Paul who used to kill Christians. He met Jesus. He fell in love with Jesus. And then he kept telling people about Jesus. And then he got thrown in jail for telling people about Jesus. And he writes a letter to a church in Ephesus, probably much different than our church, maybe. And this is what he wrote to them, right? It's really interesting. And he gave the apostles and the prophets, it'll come up as I keep pointing on it. Watch the power of my fingers, it comes up. And there it is. And he gave the apostles and the prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Everybody say, equip. The saints for the work of ministry. Who are the saints? Before I go any farther, the saints is what you do. The saints are, oh, me. If you're a follower of Jesus, in this context, you're the saint that they're talking about. It's not a Catholic thing, and you do all these things, and boom, saint. It's you. It's me. Everybody gets to play in the kingdom of God. And so the Bible says, for the building up of the body until we all attain the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of stature, the fullness of Christ. That's a lot of words. And what it means is to be like Jesus. So there's these pastors and people and different giftings to equip everybody to do the ministry so that we all can be a little bit more like Jesus, right? And so sermons and teachings and prayer series are about equipping all of us together. Why? So that we may no longer be like children, so that we may grow up. Not tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine or human cunning or craftiness and deceitful schemes. And this is why I wanted to share this a little bit before we even got into prayer. Holy cow, are some of my friends and your friends and people and relatives and your family and your kids and your parents, people are getting tossed to and fro by the waves of life right now. I mean, just imagine trying to walk through life. And this is, you're getting tossed back and forth. No, I'm not dancing. That's getting tossed to and fro. And you're getting tossed. And how hard it is. Talks and sermons and teachings, whether you listen on podcasts or a church, it gives you stability with these waves of life. This week alone, I've known people who've lost their jobs, deaths in the family, scary things occurred, a spouse has left them. It's not just the waves of tossing to and fro. I don't know if you've ever been at the beach and you've been in the water and you're hanging out enjoying the beach and you're actually facing the beach and behind you, you don't know a big wave's coming. I don't know if you had that experience. It's fun after you think about it, but in the moment, all you're doing is like, woohoo, and then bam, and you are underwater. I know a number of people. They've got a big wave this week, or maybe a big wave's coming this week in the future. Guys, pastors and shepherds, we're not here to care for everybody. We're here to teach everybody how to care for everybody. Can I get an amen? What switched for me is when I started going to church, engaging in my faith journey, and that's like, oh God, you called me to be a minister to the saints. Oh God, I am supposed to be equipped. It's me you want to bless and serve and care for and love others. I'm just not receiving, I'm getting equipped. In fact, the old church that we used to lead, it wasn't called a church. On the building outside, it said the Vineyard, the equipping center. We were serious about it. Because pastors will come and go, but the body of Christ will always remain. So are you equipped to serve and to love? And one little slice, to pray for others out loud when they need it. I wasn't. And so we're going to talk about that. Does that sound good? Say yes, just so I feel better and I keep going. Okay. I will keep going then. Well, why, if 10% of Christians pray for people out loud when they're with someone, why is that? Four quick reasons. Everybody say four. All right. One, we have compartmentalized our faith that it's supposed to happen just at church. Two, we are afraid. We are very afraid. Three, we tried it. It didn't work. I don't believe it. Four, why am I doing four like that? Four, we're not equipped. We haven't been taught. I was in my mid-20s when I first was kind of engaging in a prayer life outside of just private prayer. And I remember the moment I prayed for my mom. She's a wonderful mom. Raised us up in the Christian Lutheran church. And I remember standing in our kitchen in northern Minnesota, and she had some, like, is it called eczema, where your hands get real dry and stuff? And I took her hands, and I said, "Hey, Mom, can I pray for you?" And I, in my head, I'm like, my mom's going to think I'm crazy. Like, I had this weird, irrational fear. She loves me, and the best thing she would want is me doing this. And so I prayed that she would be healed and that God would bless her. And it was very awkward. And after, she gave me this great big mom hug. You see, we're not worried about outcomes and results. We're worried about relationship. And did her hands get healed at that moment? Not at that moment. But was there incredible love and a breakthrough in relationship? Yep. Was there a miracle? Yep. Now, why would I remember that moment? It's because there was some significant breakthrough in praying for people out loud. I had some person last night say, "I remember the first time I prayed for somebody out loud." It's interesting. I remember the first time I prayed for somebody on the phone. I was talking with the dude and I was like, "That sounds rough, man. Hey, can I pray for you?" And they're like, "Yeah, sure." No. I mean, like, on the phone right now? And the person was like, yeah. I just prayed. No big deal. So, first of all, quick, I'm going to go through these really quick. We have compartmentalized our faith. It's like we have these two worlds and there's a reason for it. But I had an epiphany this week as an illustration of two worlds coming together quick. I had just the Christmas miracle on Friday. It was a Christmas miracle. I was at my daughter's orchestra concert Friday night. But here's the deal. Typically, I was at an orchestra concert at high school. They're with the band and the choir, and this thing takes like 5 hours. And as a parent, I love it, and I'm there, and I really do love it. But when the other kids get on the platform, I don't care that much, and so on. And so a lot of times they're long, and every now and then I'll be daydreaming, man, if I could have some chicken wings during this orchestra, a little Tchaikovsky and wings, that'd be great. Or I'll be thinking, oh, man, a cold beverage right now would be so good during Mozart, right? Or I'm missing a game, and like if there was a flat-screen ESPN right here and I could be here and get credit for being a dad, this would be really good, right? It happened. There was a Christmas miracle. The orchestra concert on Friday was at Buffalo Wild Wings. No, here's a picture, the truth. You can't hardly tell. Here's the orchestra back here. Here's guys taking shots. And so these two worlds collided, and I'm like, I'm in the area and able to eat wings, to drink a beverage, to watch ESPN. There's my daughter. And then I'm like, no, but it's not as good as I pay for it. But then just wait. But it was a fundraiser. So I'm getting credit for being generous. I'm getting dad points. I'm having the time of my life. A Christmas miracle, right? Now, why is it? It's because these two worlds, I would never think of the orchestra and a sports bar together. But I tell you what, it was sweet music to my soul. And the sports bar is like a crazy chaos of life illustration where people are trying to, in life, not there, trying to escape or doing whatever. Because literally, there was a couple guys doing shots 10 feet away from my daughter going, it was awesome. And you praying for someone in a hard time in the chaos of life who are really looking at other distractions is like sweet music to their soul. You are a violin in a sports bar. Why have we compartmentalized our faith? Well, there's a few reasons. But one is we have this idea, for those who grew up in the church, of the Old Testament, that you go into the temple or the tabernacle before the temple, and you hear stories that if priests didn't do things exactly right, bad things would happen. We have this idea that you gotta do the right thing at church or you're gonna get smoked. You gotta be real proper. Well, I just wanna remind you that when Jesus Christ was on the cross, and he took the punishment of sin, mine and yours, on him, and he died. There was a moment. It was about noon to three, and the world went dark. And it's in Matthew, it says, "And Jesus cried out again, a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rock split." Many of you have heard this story. For those who haven't, there's this curtain that kept people safe from the presence of God. And Christ, like God says, "I want to make it crystal clear to people, so I'm going to give them the clearest object lesson possible. The thing that was between me and them is no longer there. It's ripped and shredded on the death and resurrection of Christ." And so now this idea that the presence of God is in the temple is gone. And through the New Testament, we learn that the temple of God is the body of Christ. The temple of God is a believer of Christ. And so the presence of God is there, not in a church. Where is a holy place? Wherever you are. I remember when I came from Colorado to chapel, we used to wear hats all the time in Colorado, like just caps and stuff, you know? And our church was full of people wearing hats, and I wore my hat to chapel church. And I'm looking around, I got the only hat on. What's going on? Well, it's just Midwest, and we want to be appropriate, and that's great if you don't wear hats. But you can be who you are in a church building, vulnerable, transparent, and real. And so one of the reasons is we think there's this church and this other life is that, and so that clears that. The other thing is, what's interesting is that when we think that you have to do church stuff in the church, it actually leads to the church not expanding. I have a small group that I know of. They meet, and I hate to pray out loud. And so at the end of the group, that nobody wants to do it, which is fine. That's okay. It's all right wherever we're at in that. They spin a pen, and wherever the pen lands, that's who's got to pray out loud. It's hilarious, right? It's like, no, I gotta pray, you know? It's okay, don't like get yourself worked up. If you've never prayed out loud for somebody, no condemnation in Christ. We're here to work through that and all get to a new place. It's fun. But what's really interesting is there's a riot that started in Ephesus. Remember that church I talked about that Paul started? That same church area, that same town, there was a riot. It's one of the most famous riots in history. You find it in Acts 19. Here's what happened. There was a group of people meeting in a church, followers of Jesus, and they were trying to encourage other people to follow Jesus and the kingdom and stuff. It was really cool. Well, the church was really stubborn and nothing was really happening. And so they said, you know what? Let's not be in the building. Let's go to a public area. They went to the Hall of Tyrannus, which was a public gathering place where there's people from all walks of life and all different ideas, many of them following this goddess Artemis. And there was a group of blacksmiths that made their living making idols for this Artemis. Well, this church got out of the church. They engaged in public. They prayed for people like crazy. The Bible says signs and wonders and breakthroughs started happening like crazy. The whole city was kind of flipped over. The blacksmiths got really angry, and they gathered together a mob, like pitchforks, like in Shrek, and they gathered together a mob, and they went to the public hall, dragged the Christians out, and they wanted to just take care of business. The mayor comes in and says, "This is not legal. We have judge or courts for this kind of thing." And they said, "Yeah, but our economy has changed because nobody's buying the idols anymore. They're all following this thing called the Way, which is this Jesus thing." You see, when the church leaves the building, it flips the city. It creates chaos to those areas of spiritual darkness. We were called to do the stuff in the church and on the soccer field and at the restaurant and in your living room and in your bedroom. It's very exciting. The other reason is we tried it. Oh, fear. What are we afraid of? We're afraid of what man will think, and we're afraid God's going to take us down. He can just let that go. It's not going to happen because he loves when his kids try it. One of the most awkward prayers, one time a person came up to me and prayed for me, and it was super awkward. And it was the most beautiful thing that happened that day. Like, your awkwardness, my awkwardness, if we say the wrong thing or right thing, is not more powerful than the move of God. If we say the wrong thing, it's not more powerful than the presence of God. It's like you get credit for trying. And I'll tell you how to do it in a moment. I'm going to give you some tips. The other thing is, we tried it and it didn't work and you're disappointed. There are many people here who are hurt because they've prayed and prayed and prayed and that person still died. That spouse still left. That job didn't happen. And we don't understand it. You guys have heard my journey. I've prayed every day for years for my son who's disabled to be healed. And then he got bone cancer, right? Like, pray, it gets worse. Well, that doesn't make any sense. There was a season where I was like, doesn't matter anyway. It's a pretty dark season. But you see, the truth is, the more than we know is happening in our prayers, in our situations, and you'll see in a moment of truth that God is always working. I can look back now that he's been healed from bone cancer, that whole journey in our life has been just beautiful. It's been amazing. Prayers are answered now, I see, that I didn't know then. But it's true, we sometimes give up because we're hurting. And some of you need to hear today, need to hear that the thing you haven't prayed for a while, the Lord knows how much it hurts. Jesus loves you so much. He knows exactly how you're feeling about it. And he's right there with you. And he doesn't condemn you. He's just inviting you to talk to him again about it. Because that's what prayer is. Prayer is talking. Prayer is conversation. Jesus wants you to talk to him about it again. That's a side note. Someone probably needed to hear that. So as we go into prayer, you guys want to be a sweet violin in the crazy sports bar of life? Say yes.
Yes.
Anybody want to go to the sports bar later to watch the Bears? Say yes. Okay, so I was wondering which one would be like louder. That was interesting. All right, three things to keep in mind. Here we go. We're shifting into equipping, and we're going to do this quickly so that we kind of end early so we have some time to actually do it. Three things I keep in mind that's helped me. I'm not the best at this. This is just what's helped me. When you are going to pray for somebody out loud, first of all, it's okay if it's awkward. It's okay. I keep in mind three things. One thing in my heart, one thing in my mind, and one thing for my hands. In my heart, I keep these truths true or in mind. That what is the heart of praying for other people? And we learn this from Jesus. Three scriptures that prove it. Matthew 15:32 says, Jesus called his disciple to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. So the word compassion, Jesus somehow was activated in praying for other people through this compassion. In Luke 7, it says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. In Matthew 20:34, Jesus had, what's the word now? Yeah, I mean, it's obvious. So there's these moments even where it says he was filled with compassion and prayed for somebody else. So what is compassion? Compassion is love for another person, but it's with action. Just a feeling towards a person, an intention to a person is not compassion. If you are like really stirred in your heart and do nothing, I wouldn't call that compassion. I would still call it beautiful. You're stirred in the heart. But compassion is love in action. So most people in the Midwest, when they talk to someone and they share a hard time, they say something like, oh man, you'll be in my thoughts and prayers. And that is awesome. And it is beautiful. And that is great. But if you're stirred with compassion, you want to see a kingdom breakthrough now for this person that you love. I'll show you how to do that in a second. Compassion is love in action. The second thing in this whole deal is this is about relationships when you pray with people, not outcomes or results. When you pray with people, it is not about the results or the outcomes. That's up to God. That's why we say the word expectancy in prayer versus expectations, right? So as I pray for someone who maybe is coming to me and has cancer, I have expectancy that God might heal them in the moment. And I trust whatever God's going to do as that plays out, whether the healing happens in front of me or not. And so I pray in love. I was at a seminar with my wife, and it was recently after we've gone through some medical stuff. And they were talking about when prayer fails. When you pray for someone and it fails. I almost stood up in a room like you're in and just said, no! Like, that's such a lie and a misthought. Prayer never fails. Because I've prayed for people that didn't get healed or didn't have a breakthrough we noticed, but they said, hey, when you prayed for me, I felt so cared for. Thank you. Is that failure? You can't fail unless you do something real stupid. And that's why we got to have training and equipping. Right? It's like a joke, but not a joke. you're all even like, is he kidding? Do I laugh at this? I don't know what to do. Okay. So we keep those things in our heart. What we keep in our mind, now this is really important. What do we keep in our mind when we pray for somebody? With your daughter at night before bed, with your spouse, with your friends, what do we have in our mind? This is really important. First, Jesus answered him in John 5:17. My Father is working until now, and I am working. In other scriptures, it says my Father is always at work. What we have to remember is if I have somebody that I'm talking with and I'm going to pray for them, I have to remember that God's working in their life. Like, God is doing something. He always is. The presence of God is active in that person's life. I don't have to make it happen. It's no pressure on me to stir up God. Hey, God, wake up. I got an idea on how you can help this person. None of that. God is at work. My role is to engage in what God might be doing. Okay? So that's one thing I always have in my mind. God's at work. The second thing is, how am I empowered to do this? This is important. This is a paradigm switch for many evangelical Christians. This, what I'm about to tell you, is a paradigm switch. And some of you are going to struggle with it. How was Jesus empowered and how am I empowered? Briefly, in Luke 4:1, it says, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And there's many other scriptures. For this moment, Jesus was filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the signs and the wonders and the activities that he was put on the earth to do, to show that the kingdom has come and God loves us. Now, many people say, well, he did that because he's God. Well, of course he was God, but he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Very important. Now, the next thing is, what about us? In Romans 8:11 is one of many verses that says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, if the Holy Spirit, who was so powerful, he raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, me and you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. And so what we have here, guys, is the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, who empowered Jesus to do signs and wonders, is the same Holy Spirit that dwells in us as a believer of Christ, after repent and believe. He dwells in the body of Christ, and he dwells in the believer over and over. So when I'm praying for someone, here's what we got going on. God's doing the work in this person's life, and I'm empowered through the power of the Holy Spirit that anything can happen at any particular time. You know what this sounds like? God is doing all the heavy lifting, isn't he? And so when I engage in prayer, I'm just myself. I just see what the Lord might do, and if he gives me a thought, we go for it, and it just takes the pressure off. God is at work, guys. So when we go into how do you pray, everybody ask the question, how do you pray, Corey?
How do you pray, Corey?
Thank you. Oh, thanks for asking. There's no formula. There's a lot of different places to say, here's exactly what you do. at the chapel. We have a training coming up on January 19th at Grays Lake. It's 6 hours to go through the details of this. So I want to invite everybody, Grays Lake, January 19th, training how to pray for other people, right? It's going to be awesome. And so, but there's a few tips you can keep in mind here real quick. One of the things is, let's get someone up here. Andy, I know you're looking at sports scores or something, but come up here real quick. And campus pastors at all the campus sites, just so you can do your planning, I'm going to go about 3 minutes over, and then you'll be able to practice this. What up, my brother?
What's up?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Get over here. All right. Don't do that with prayer. Just stay. You're just basically going to stand here and be, you know, awesome. That's okay. Basically all you're going to do.
Okay.
And so if I am looking at someone I want to pray, I have these ideas in my eye that the presence of God is going to be there. I believe that the revelation of God will come, and I believe that there'll be breakthrough in some way, shape, or form. And that's up to God what it looks like, right? And so we're just talking, how's it going? And Andy says something like, hey, how's it going with the kids? I ask.
It's good. School's going well. A little bit of social, like probably pressure with some peer stuff at school.
Okay.
That I'm mindful of.
Okay, great. So right there. Just real quick, if usually when you ask someone to pray in the Midwest, they'll say something about Aunt Susie or they'll say something about somebody else. Very rarely do they talk about themselves. And so that's great. You're going to pray about that for sure. But what I want to do is I always want to bring the prayer moment to the now. Bring it to the moment, bring it to the now. So how you do that is you say, oh my gosh, how does that feel to you? I can't tell you how many times I ask people that. Oh, that's really interesting. That's got to be really hard. How does that feel to you? How does that feel to you as a dad?
As a dad, it makes me anxious.
Okay. So now I'm in the moment. See how long that took? Like 3 seconds. And then in the moment, you're like, oh man, can I pray for you about that?
Yeah, love that.
And then you do the 7 words that'll change everybody's life. Because usually in the Midwest, they're like, yeah, please pray for me. That's great.
And they walk away.
Yeah, yeah. It's like these 7 words. Can I pray for you right now? 7 words. These are 7 important words to anyone that attends chapel. Can I pray for you right now? Can I pray for you right now?
Yeah, I'd love it.
Awesome. All right. And if we know each other, I might say, hey, man, I'll put my hand on your shoulder or that. But you don't have to, especially if you don't know them, if a person of the opposite gender. You don't have to do anything. Just say, I'd just love to pray for you. And so, great, I'll just pray for you. And you could be on the sidewalk. You could be anywhere. You could be your server really quick at a restaurant. Sometimes they'll be like, hey, we're going to pray before our meal. Is there anything I can pray for you about while we pray, while you're getting our food? Just like that. And they're like, yeah. That I'd get a real big tip. Sorry. No. All right. So real quick. So the thing I'm going to do real quick is what Jesus often did. And he said in the Lord's Prayer, he had a thing when people said, how do you pray? He the third line was, let your kingdom come. That's what Jesus said. So usually I'm going to say, oh, man, I'd love to pray with you. And I know Andy pretty good, so I'm going to put my hand on him and say, Lord Jesus, right now I just ask that your kingdom would come. And I mean it right now. I'm really praying, would your kingdom come? Because Andy really does get anxious. And so, Holy Spirit, would you minister to Andy? Now, in the Midwest, we're still in a prayer moment. In the Midwest, people talk too much. In the Midwest, people talk way too much when they pray. The prayers of the Midwestern person takes forever. I sometimes want to just say, shut up and let God do it, right? I'm being real blunt because I'm running out of time. And so what you want to do is you want to wait for a second. Just let some silence be for just a minute and just keep your eyes open and what's God might be doing here? Maybe nothing. That's okay. And you're in your mind with God. You're saying, God, what should I pray? How should I pray? Show me something about Andy. And he'll bring either something to mind. He'll bring a scripture to mind. He might bring a picture to mind. He might bring nothing. And you just pray a blessing on him. Jesus' average length of prayer in the book of John was between 8 and 12 words. Now, you don't have to be that short because we're not as good as Jesus. But what we're doing in the moment, we're not asking or counseling. The Holy Spirit's the counselor. We don't have to counsel. What we have to do is just say, God, right now, would you meet Andy in his anxiousness? Would you bring peace in his heart and his mind about being a dad? And would you give him wisdom, Lord, in that? Would you just bless him? Amen. Amen. Yeah, man, I'll see you. I'll call you Thursday.
All right.
So it's like that. And we don't know what happened in that moment. And so be in the moment. Keep it short. Keep your, you know, when you say, hey, let us pray, what happens? If you say to a group, hey, okay, let us pray. That's how you get your attention in a meeting. Just let us pray. Okay. The Bible never anywhere in the Bible does it tell people to close their eyes when they pray. Now, it's not bad. It's actually a humbling thing, and it's actually an act to keep distractions away, so I think it's real smart. But I want you to know it's not a biblical thing. And so when we pray for people and you're part of chapel, we pray for people, and at some moment, maybe your eyes are closed so you can focus, you open your eyes and you look at the person. Keep your eyes open and see them with the eyes that the Father sees them. You say, Lord, help me to see them. So it's a little bit of a switch for you. Be in the moment, and the Lord will bless that time. So that was just a teaser, just a taste for the training coming up on the 19th, if you'd like to participate. If you're a dad and you've never prayed for your kids out loud, I want to just ask you, dad to dad, I want to say, do it. Just do that this week. Pray for your kids out loud. If your kids are grown up and they're off in a faraway land, call them on the phone. Say, I'd like to pray for you. Then your kids will call your mom. What happened to dad? We have people getting tossed to and fro, guys. Chicagoland is hungry for an army of people that believe the kingdom of God can come through and be a stabilizing force in raging waters. An army of people out in Chicagoland and Lake County that are praying for people and expecting the kingdom to break through at any moment in every place in even just seconds. I believe the chapel is that people. I believe for 25 years we've been doing it, and I believe God is calling us to a new step. If you're a follower of Jesus, I'm inviting you into this incredible journey. And if you've never done it, and if you don't do it this week, there's no condemnation. I'm just telling you, it's awesome to be a part of. And everybody is equipped. Everybody. You have what it takes. You already have it. If you've been praying for years for people out loud, outside of church, keep doing it and start training other people to do it. Disciple others. Let's do this thing. All right. That's all I got. So let's pray. I don't know what happened at the campuses, but I'll tell you what happened just now at Libertyville. I said, let's pray. After talking about you don't have to close your eyes. And about half the room went, what do? I don't know what to do. Yeah. God is like getting you out of your comfort zone. It's okay to close your eyes. It's fine. It gives you whatever, but you don't have to. Lord, would you bless every campus? Would you bless this week and the waves that come? Would you bless the families? May we be people of prayer. May the people of Lake County, down in Hinsdale, in McHenry, would people know chapel as those are the people that just love to pray for people. Let it come, Lord. I pray for breakthrough in families even today. Phone calls and moments of simple prayer. In Jesus' name, this we do for your glory. Not ours. Amen.